Welcome to the Sunbird Sports Show with Paul Meadors. Brought to you by Fresno Pacific University on 790 ESPN.
Good evening and happy Wednesday night to everybody out there. This is a Sunbird Sports Show, and I am your host, Paul Meadors. This is 790 ESPN live here at the 1430 ESPN radio studio across from Bullard High School on Palm Avenue. This is where we are every Wednesday night from 6 to 7. Love talking about Fresno Pacific University athletics, talking to the coaches and athletes and former athletes as well. We're going to get into what we're going to have on the show in just a minute here. But you can go back and listen to all the episodes. Last year had the men's water polo team, and that was a lot of fun. You could go back to Spotify, Apple, YouTube. It's being broadcast live right now on the 1430 ESPN YouTube channel. You could go back and watch all the other episodes. We've had lots of really good ones this calendar year. And speaking of the calendar year, this is actually going to be the second to the last show of the calendar year. Next week's show on the 17th will be the last one of the year. We're going to be coming back, though, on January 7th. I'm going to be taking off Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve as well. Kind of interesting how Wednesday nights have found out that, you know, both of those shows in late December fall on a couple pretty important dates. Time to spend time with friends and family. So we're going to take a couple weeks off, but we do have a great show lined up next week. I love talking with former athletes, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago. I'm also an alum of the school. I graduated in 1994, a proud Sunbird alum. Back then it was Fresno Pacific College. Now it's obviously university. But next week, we're going to be talking with some former members of the men's basketball team. In fact, they all played together in the year of our Lord, 1995. And we got the pictures to prove it. So coming on the show, we have Todd Tompkins, who's an administrator in Carruthers. He was a BMX legend as well as a youngster. That story might pop up next week. John Jones is an assistant basketball coach at Clovis North. His son Lucas is a freshman on the current team at Fresno Pacific University. And Tim Admonson, who is a head coach currently at Bullard High School just across the street. Those guys are absolute legends. And all three of them are going to be coming on the show next week for the full hour. You guys won't want to miss that episode. They are full of fun stories. Todd Tompkins was the point guard on that team, and he has some great stories he's told in the past. I'm going to make him say a couple different stories, but he always had, you know, the decisions to make. Who to pass the ball to? Did he pass the ball to John Jones or Tim Admonson? So anyway, it's going to be a great episode. Can't wait for you guys to hear that. So that's next week before taking off a couple of weeks. But tonight we have Fresno Pacific University women's volleyball in the house. They had a phenomenal season that unfortunately didn't end quite like they wanted to this last week, but one of the greatest seasons in Fresno Pacific history. We have head coach Kelsey Montagna and senior Cambria Waits on the show. They're going to be taking up both segments. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. The team, like I said, finished one of the greatest seasons in Fresno Pacific history, finished 27-2, a remarkable year. They were the 2025 Pac West regular season co-champs, the 2025 Pac West tournament champs, made the NCAA West regional final, the Sweet 16 appearance. How about this? When Kelsey took over the program last year, she inherited a team that was 13-16 in 2023, predicted to finish ninth in the Pac West. She led them to an 18-10 record, finished in third place. That was last year. This year, they were predicted to finish fifth. Her team won their first 23 games, spent 7 weeks in the AVCA top 25, won multiple awards, set new program records in the NCAA history. And Cam also had a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal career. She was recently named to some All-American teams, All-Conference teams as well. So we'll talk about that as the program moves along. Again, they're going to be on for both of our segments. And if you're familiar with the show, you know that it is this time where I talked about things that happened last week. So we got some information for you guys. A little bit of a different format. At the end of the show, we usually have an intern that comes on and asks the participants some questions from the student body. Since a lot of them are gone already and finals are happening, we're not going to do that. So I have a show recap, and then there's a little bit of action that's happening next week as well. The basketball teams, both the men's and the women's, they had a pair of Pac West Conference doubleheaders at the Special Events Center. On Thursday, they took on Biola University, and the women were able to come a 21-point deficit to force overtime, but ultimately fell 79-73. San Joaquin Memorial's Angela Whitfield led the team with 19 points. Shortly after, the men took down the Eagles 85-80 with Isaac Peralta, IP, returning from an ankle injury to score 17 points in the win. On Saturday, both teams squared off with Point Loma despite a career-high 29 points from freshman and fellow Memorial grad Sienna Evans. The women fell 67-56. Point Loma men came in ranked number 4 in the nation and clipped the Birds 85-63. Swim was in Orange County to square off with Chapman University and the University of San Diego. Brazilian Theo Chazari won the 200 backstroke for the men, while freshman Justin Ferry won the 200 individual medley. The women saw season best and PRs from numerous competitors, including Buller High's Natalie Noble. In the 200 individual medley, Mia Mohanen won the 50 stroke and the 100 free, and Norwegian Tori Nordili, in the 100 fly. Volleyball was in San Diego as a 3 seed in the NCAA West Regional. The men, they made quick business against Western Washington in round 1 with a 3-0 sweep over the number 6 seeded Vikings. In round 2, came down to the wire against Central Washington, with the Birds getting it done in 5 sets to advance. But then on day 3 in the Sweet 16, the Birds' magical season came to a close against top-seeded Point Loma in 4 sets. The Birds' 27-2 record is their best ever in NCAA history. We'll hear more about that game, that tournament, and the whole season after the break. Well, what's happening next? It's going to be a quiet week for FPU as it's currently finals week, so no one's in action until basketball heads to SoCal for doubleheaders against Concordia University Irvine and Vanguard University next Thursday and Saturday. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from Kelsey Montagna and Cam Waits. You're listening to the Sunburst Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunburst Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
Back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. I mentioned that volleyball is in the house, and I did not have time, but now I have time to mention all the accolades from Cam's amazing season that she had. All right, I'm going to go through it. 2025 Pac West first team, 2-time selection. 2025 ABCA All West Region first team. 2025 Pac West All Tournament. Pac West Tournament Most Outstanding Player, NCAA West Regional All Tournament, Academic All District, nominated for Academic All American. Overall this season, she was 6th in service aces, 8th in points, 10th in kills, and just announced today, I actually saw it on Instagram, that All American as well. So congrats on all those accolades. And of course, Kelsey is here as well. Bunch of awards for her. I won't go over all of them. A couple important ones, right? Like the Pac West Coach of the Year. That's a big deal. Yeah. The 2025 ABCA West Region Coach of the Year. And what? That one is going to be next week at a luncheon?
Yeah, at the ABCA convention. So it's a convention for all of us coaches that go to for the Final Four. So I'll be able to see a lot of colleagues, see a lot of coaches, players. Also, Cam and Michaela Weiss are there as demos as well. So they get to be on-court demonstrators for like Karch Cry or April Ross. Nice. So that's awesome as well. So a little convention for all of us. And then we get to also watch 4 teams battle it out, the best of the best. So, mm-hmm.
Cam, when I mention all those awards, like, you get a little embarrassed? Is it like, I guess. Like what kind of goes through your mind when you hear all that cool stuff you're able to accomplish on the court?
I'm honestly just really proud of myself for accomplishing all that. I mean, it's been 4 years here. So, I mean, to accomplish that is just such a goal of mine. And I know that in the future there's more to come. So I'm just excited to see what my next step is.
We're going
to
get into all of that. We got all the way up to the 7 o'clock hour. So I'm excited about that. I do want to ask, we talked a little bit about the cold, right? Like how we haven't seen the sun for like what seems like at least a week. This is just a crazy weather time. But that also means that Christmas is near.
It is.
And Christmas break. I know you guys are on finals and the campus is going to be pretty much emptied out for a lot of reasons. But coach, like, outstanding season, first of all. But like, how do you view Christmas break for you? Like, is that a time to re-energize? I know you're going to be coaching again in January. You got a lot of stuff going on, but how do you frame Christmas time? Are you able to catch up on some shows and books and anything like that or not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I definitely think it's a reset. I walked into the office today and a few of my colleagues were like, "What are you doing? Don't you have a month off?" And but it never stops. I think that right now recruiting is a huge part of our game, and we only really need to bring in five. We're only losing four. Unfortunately, Cam is one of them, unless they pass the five-year law. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a time to reset, but I also think that for me personally, I can't take a day off without thinking of what's next and just preparing about how can we make next season better. And it doesn't have to be our record that's better. It's what do we do to make their experience better, or what can we do in the springtime? We do a lot of community service projects, and we do our annual gala now, and how do we do an alumni match maybe, or bring a spring tournament? So I have all these ideas that start coming to me. The girls know I love to clean my house when I'm trying to think of things or when I'm stressed. So I did some deep cleaning yesterday and sent my assistant coach, Katie Spees, who's amazing, a whole list of like, okay, these are the things that we need to get done. So, yeah, it's just one day at a time, I guess.
Yeah, so the short answer, I guess, is no. You're not catching up on TV shows. You're not reading a book. That's just kind of how
I
you
do
operate,
put on
right?
some TV, okay. You know, Hallmark movies that I don't really have to pay attention to, or some worship music that I can just sing along to. But yeah, I like to hang out with my cats.
Okay.
And then I wouldn't really say I take a day off.
All right. Yeah. Good to know. Cam, what about for you? You got any cool Christmas traditions or movies that are your favorite around this time?
Me and my family love to watch Elf and Die Hard. We claim that Die Hard's our favorite Christmas movie.
One of those.
Movie.
Okay. Yes. I like it too.
Not surprising, though, actually.
But we always gather at my house and just have the entire family over. I have a really big family, so it's just love feeling like home. And yeah.
Good. Awesome. All right. So 27-2, lots of accolades. This is what, your fourth time on the show, I believe, and we had a good conversation during the season. It's been 4 days? What, Saturday, right? Was the tournament?
Yeah.
And it didn't go as you wanted on the court. You lost to Point Loma, but as you've had some time to reflect on the season a little bit and the car ride home, probably a few more tears as well and some questions and some talk as well. But now that it's been a few days, like, how are you able to just kind of quantify the season and reflect on the good things that happened?
Oh, yeah. I think this season's super inspiring. I hope to not only to FPU, but to those in the community and those who are alum of FPU, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, Saturday didn't go as we wanted, obviously. We never want to lose. We're not used to losing. I just think we didn't have our best day, and we hadn't had a bad day in all season. Even when we lost to Point Loma for the outright champions of the Pac West, we lost by a difference of 1 point. And so, you know, it's hard to swallow that your not so good day is to make it to the national tournament. But I think we also have a lot to be proud of, obviously, and we looked a little tapped out. But I think it makes sense where a lot of our players have not been put in that situation before. You know, not to talk about Point Loma, but Point Loma went to regionals last year for the first time, and they lost the first round. So it takes experience, and it takes players to know how far it gets mentally, physically. I think Friday's match against Central Washington. I think Central Washington is a great team, and I'll keep saying that. I think they're highly underrated this whole entire year. They're one team when I watched who we potentially could play, I was a little nervous about. And so, you know, I think we're a little tapped off of Friday, and we gave it all we got, and we ended up with that win, and we were down 13-12 in the fifth, and we're able to pull it out 15-13. I think just at that moment, we kind of looked almost satisfied, to be honest. Like, we have overcame so many obstacles with so many amazing memories, and even though we don't ever want to lose, you know, end on a loss, I really wouldn't say it's a loss. I think we're both 2-2. It is what it is. It just happened to be that day.
Yeah.
So.
And I can actually attest to the alum. You mentioned the alum. Mm-hmm. You want to make them proud. On Sunday at church, a former volleyball player at FPU, Stacy Johns is her last name now, mm-hmm. Stacy Kaufman. They're like, yeah, we watched the match last night too. So got a lot of eyeballs. And right, I mean, just a lot of people were really into this volleyball season.
Absolutely. I've been getting emails from old staff members or presidents of FPU who are definitely proud of us. And I think that's something to just contest to, like, who this group is and what kind of culture that we're trying to produce, or that we have, I would say, that we have really to be proud of. And so all the wins and the accolades, they'll account for and they'll keep coming. But it's, how do we represent FPU? And I said in my post-game interview, it's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm proud of where I am, and there's no other place I'd want to be. And so, and I stay hold to that, is that we're proud of where we come from and who we are and what we're inspiring those around us to be.
Definitely. I agree. Cam, what about for you? What has these last few days been like for you? Maybe even the ride home? Yeah. Like, what's been going through your mind?
I mean, I've been processing it because, I mean, losing a Point Loma is devastating, but I don't think I could have asked for a better senior season. I mean, we won the PacWest champs, and we can never be PacWest champs again, so now was the time to do it. But I'm just extremely proud of this group and everything that we accomplished this season, and I just can't wait to see what they do next year.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's like, is there a favorite memory that you have? You know, a lot of people that, you know, talk about their time either in high school, college, mm-hmm. or even the pros, that mm-hmm. it's the bus rides, it's the locker room, right?
Yeah.
It's the meals. But what stands out to you right now in your four mm-hmm. years at Fresno Pacific?
One game, actually, our pink out game, we had probably the most fans mm-hmm. like ever. And just to feel that support is just so special. So I think that's one of the most important things that stands out to me.
How about on the court? Like, what, like, is there a specific moment, maybe a kill or a great play that you or your teammates made?
I feel like we had so many mm-hmm. that there's just not one that sticks out to me. But, yeah, I can't name one specific one.
Like, have you ever hit the ball so hard that, like, I don't know, you hurt somebody, or maybe you made a mark on a court? I don't know.
Like, we have blown some people up.
Yeah.
Or blocked some people pretty harshly.
I mean, I think my favorite thing to do is getting blocks, because it's a momentum shift. Like, you get a block, you turn to your teammates and you celebrate, and they're screaming in your face, and it's just the best feeling ever.
That's awesome. Kels, so Cam, she had to make some sacrifices this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's an all-conference player last year. But just talk about what the changes, the adjustments that she made on the court, off the court, and the growth that you saw from her.
Yeah, I think Cam is such a unique person in the best way possible, and it's going to be really hard to I honestly, it's weird because I've only coached FPU with Cam by my side. So it's going to be a little hard transition. I think Cam knows how special she is to me and to this program. I mean, last year I stepped in and she was our sixth rotation setter, and stepped on the court and demanded the ball and did a really, really good job. And this year it was a little bit different. Her and Mick shared time, but if I know Cam, and I feel like I know her pretty well, she's so competitive. It doesn't matter what she's doing. She just wants to win. And that was the first conversation we had when Mick was in the mix of coming in and potentially running a 6-2 or running a 5-1. And I said, hey, this, you know, Mick might set a 5-1 and you might just play all the way around and hit, and you use you in the front row. That was the big thing. We needed Cam to hit in the front row. And so she's like, okay, I just want to win. And I'm like, okay, well, that was the easiest conversation of me saying you're not studying anymore. So I think that's just a contestant who Cam is. She's just super competitive and she pushes everyone that's in the gym. And I know, you know, she's the best, biggest right side in the PacWest. We make a joke out of it because she's probably one of the smallest. Yeah. And no one really realizes it for how big she plays. Like, to get all those accolades at, no offense, Cam, at 5'7", as a six rotation right side is unbelievable. I don't think people realize how small Cam is until they stand next to her. And we make a joke about it, and Cam will fight to the her death probably that she's not that short, but she kind of is. And so, yeah, I mean, it almost brings a tear to my eye because Cam is FPU volleyball. Like, if we could have a whole team of Cam, maybe not a whole team because they'd be so competitive, it'd be hard to control, but Cam is that piece to FPU volleyball that had been missing for a while. And I think that she loves FPU as a program. She loves FPU, the school, and she gave her full heart of all 4 years, even when it wasn't so good. And she just stayed committed and didn't care who was at the helm. She just, it's just a testament to who she is. And I can't wait to see what her future holds. Whether that's going overseas and playing, which I've been pushing for her to do for a while now, or if the fifth year gets past coming back, you know, I think she's praying for that every day. But I think no matter what Cam does, she's going to be super successful, and she has us in her corner all the way. So I would love for her to get into coaching, but she's so competitive. She would have to take a few years to get that out of her
right?
system.
Right? It's hard. It's different.
It really is.
A little
is.
Less control, don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cam, I want to dive into that a little bit. Like, in what ways did Kelsey bring out the best of you? Like, how did she help you flourish?
Well, I mean, for one, she's always there for us. Like, if I have an injury, she's texting me, like, are you taking care of your body? Like, how are you feeling? For one, I mean, always getting help on the court. Like, I we always make a joke that I'm the most likely to just always ask questions, and I'm always asking a question and she always has the answer. So, like, I feel like
she never rolled her eyes at you or anything, like, oh,
I
here it comes
stare,
again,
but it's not a roll eye, it's
okay.
A
right.
We're let's do this.
Yeah, but I mean, she always has the best advice, always pushing me to the best of my ability, like pushing me to go overseas. I've been kind of iffy about it, but like, I think it is something I want to pursue in the future, and I think with her help, I can definitely do that.
Awesome, awesome. How about on the court? Was that a huge adjustment for you to go into that new role, like physically and mentally, and how were you able to adjust that?
Yeah, I mean, my very first year at FPU, I wasn't a setter. I was a right side. So I've been going back and forth every year, right side and setter. It hasn't been that different every year. Because I know my role on the team and everything. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, how about the mental edge? You talk about the competitiveness that you had. And I know
her and Mick would go after each other, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I think me and Mick are two peas in a pod. I mean, we do everything together. And as long as she has my back, I have her back. Like, I ask her for so much advice and vice versa. So I feel like she kind of takes that pressure off a little bit, if there's pressure, if any. But,
Well, what were some of the cultural differences, too, that Kelsey was able to bring to the program? Culture is so important. Mm-hmm. And it's no fluke, right, that you went 27-2. Mm-hmm. Right? You need the players, obviously, but there's a different aspect to playing winning sports, right, whether volleyball, basketball. But so what? Talk about the culture that she brought in and how that was manifested.
The culture is great. I mean, we talk about that all the time. I mean, the love that we all have for each other and just our spiritual growth as well that she brings in. I mean, we're required to go to chapel, and I know that we love that. And I feel like this team wouldn't be the team it is without every single person that's on it, and that's thanks to her for recruiting the people that she did. Everyone just has so much love for each other and wants everyone to succeed, and so I think that attests to what kind of culture we have today.
We got a couple minutes here before we hit the break, and you guys are going to come back. We got another segment. Kelsey, if I would have told you 2 years ago, when you took over the program, what, 13 and 18, I believe, that you'd be sitting here right, with a great season, ranked as high as, I think, 8th overall in the nation, 27-2 overall. What would you have said? Yeah, that's the plan, or my gosh, that doesn't sound right. Or what would you have said if I told you that? Would it, you'd be sitting here at that moment?
Absolutely. I feel like I want the best in anything that I do, and around really good people. So I knew if I brought the right people alongside me, my assistant coaches had the backing of FPU in general, whether it's our athletic department or Andre, that we would be able to succeed. I think I had an aha moment when we were finally top 10 in the nation. I kind of sat back on my drive home and I was like, whoa, like we're top 10 in the nation. Like Fresno Pacific is top 10 in the nation. So that was a little kind of the first time this year that I had kind of like an aha like moment where I was a little choked up about it because I was just so proud of what we've done so quickly. But yeah, if you would have said this 2 years ago, I would have said, oh yeah, absolutely, that's what we're doing. Because if you're not doing that, then what are you doing it for? I mean, there's a lot that we do it for, but it's so much more than just winning and the record. It's the culture. And I think our culture is really what pushes us to win. We're competitive. We love God. We love the community. And so, and that's what I want. And I want those that aspire to be bigger than themselves around me, whether it's with my assistants or with our student athletes. And that's what we really try to push for them too. So I think it's a balance of both. Like I'm always continuing trying to learn as a person and as a coach. And I think that's what we try to push on them and what they actually really try to push beyond those boundaries too. Like they're always trying to get better, whether it's in the classroom or on the court. Like we, you know, there was one point where like 21-0 and that was still not good enough. And so, and it wasn't that the record wasn't good enough. It was, we still have things that we need to get better at and we still do these things really well, but how do we do it 1% better? And so they're all bought into that. And so, yeah. Yeah. Long story short. Yeah. Probably I would definitely agree with you on that.
That's awesome. I love
I think they know that. Yeah. That's kind of what our coaching style is we bring that energy because we have that belief of like, no, we're still getting better. Like we have to get better. And I think we as coaches exemplify that in our day-to-day lives. We're constantly watching. Kelly is the podcast guru, you know, she's constantly like, I listen to this podcast and I have this about it. Or Katie, she coaches boys. So she gets a lot of perspective of like the men's game and the boys game and like club scene. And so she's like, one of my players said this. That's not how her voice is. So I brought it back down. Or, you know, or our players coach in the community, or they go and play beach or things like that. And so like they also have like a lot of other things they're bringing in. And we're very open to that. I'm like, how do we feel? Like, what do we see? How do we feel? How can we get better? What does this feel like? Because it's a feeling thing. To get better, you have to feel it and you have to learn from it. And so if we're just telling you how to change things, but you're not really understanding it, it doesn't really work. But they're great. And so we can't wait to see what's next.
I can't either. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more from Kelsey Montagna and Cam Waits. You're listening to Sunburst Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. I want to remind everybody out there, you can go back and listen to past episodes on Apple, Spotify, YouTube as well. Yeah, just go to YouTube and just put in the search engine Sunbird Sports Show and boom, there they are. They'll pop up for you. All right, so we've had a great conversation so far with Fresno Pacific University volleyball coach Kelsey Montagna and senior Cam Waits. Talked about the season, a wonderful year that they had, 27-2, ranked as high as number 8 overall in NCAA. But Kelsey, you mentioned this last time you were on the show and you said, hey guys, I don't know if you're going to be interested in this, but my husband is doing something crazy, right? And then it blows up on all the news stations. I don't want to steal this from you, the introduction and letting people know out there what he was able to accomplish. And I reread it again today, and I still don't know how he did it. But just explain what your husband was able to accomplish. What, this last 3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
When we were in the conference tournament in Hawaii, okay. That's why he could not be there. But he set the Guinness World Record for the fastest known 50K in 7 continents in 7 days.
You've got to give us more than that. All right. So for everybody out there, 50K, it's what, 31-ish miles.
Mm-hmm.
Did 7 races in 7 days on 7 continents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So when he first told you about this dream of his, what was your initial reaction? Well, knowing how competitive you are, I think I'd say, yeah, go for it, honey.
Yeah.
Do it. Just
yeah,
do it. I
was like, okay, when? And initially, this has been like a year and probably more, a dream about 2 years ago and a year of work. But yeah, he just said, hey, I want to do something like this. And I said, okay, well, what is it? And he gave me the specifics. And originally it was supposed to be a little bit further, but Guinness had came back and said, it doesn't matter if it's this mileage, whatever's over an ultra, either has to be an ultra or 50 miles. And 50 miles in 7 continents in 7 days is not very feasible. That is very hard to do. I don't know if that's even possible with logistics, but he found a company called the Great World Race, who actually has done this for many years. And they go to 7 continents in 7 days, but people sign up to do a marathon or a half marathon. So logistically, that was the best place to go or company to go with, because to get to Antarctica is very hard, if you could even imagine that. So there's even some changes where they went to Antarctica. They're supposed to go to Antarctica first and then go back to Cape Town and then go from there. But with the weather on Antarctica, it was like 22 degrees. There's a storm. I don't know, all this crazy stuff. So they actually started in Cape Town and then flew out and raced like 5 hours later at midnight. And then was done by 5 a.m. the next day, and then flew back out to South Africa, and then had to immediately go to another flight because to keep it on schedule, it was, yeah. So, yeah, he made it. Gosh. He said it. It was amazing. He did it to spread awareness for Parkinson's disease. His grandfather was diagnosed 4 years ago, so we've been seeing him really struggle with that and just bring awareness to that. And he partnered with the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So it's been really awesome. I think that his goal was like 50,000. He got around a little over 10 for right now, but there's something in the works coming up soon, right, again for 2026. So yeah, it was That's so great. Fun. I mean, the girls were around it too. And I think one practice, they're like, Coach, why aren't you going? And I'm like, because we have a conference tournament in 4 yeah. days from now. And they're like, and there was a period of time where we thought it had started Saturday to Saturday. So I was going to do an overnight flight on Friday from Hawaii, overnight flight to Miami and be there at the finish. But they ended up doing it a Friday to Friday. And actually, he did it sooner. So I think he did it in less than 6 days because he didn't start with the actual race at the very end. He wanted it to be done faster. So he started a little sooner. So I was on FaceTime at, I think, like 3 a.m. Hawaii time while he was crossing the finish. So logistically, it wasn't going to work for me to be there. But it all worked out. We won. He won. We got to celebrate.
Good weekend. Mm-hmm. I got so many more questions. Next time you're on the show, we're gonna dive a little bit deeper. Cam, when you first heard about this, like, did you think your husband's crazy? What does this look like?
100%. I mean, I think he's like really good motivation, to be honest, because I would not go to any continent to run 30-something miles.
Not even Fresno.
Probably would not run 30 miles here either. But, I mean, we supported him. He supported us. We sent him videos of saying, good luck, Christian, you got this. And pretty sure we received some back. So yeah, just having that support was really important.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Great story. Cam, I want to know more about growing up and how you found out about Fresno Pacific and your journey to the college. So from Lodi, went to St. Mary's, known for their girls basketball programs, right? I've seen them play a bunch of times. Clovis West was able to beat them a bunch of times too. But anyway, but you're a Dodger fan?
I am.
So a NorCal girl with the being a Dodger fan.
Huge.
How did that?
Her family is huge Dodger fan.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
My dad's from LA, so I just
easy answer. There you go.
Took that up.
Awesome. So how did you hear about Fresno Pacific, and was it an easy decision for you to come down here?
So I played for a Rage Volleyball Club in Ripon, California, and they had a college showcase. And at the time, Shasta was the coach for Fresno Pacific. So she came down, she saw me play. I introduced myself to her, and then from there, it just sparked a good relationship. And then I came on a visit, and I knew this was a place for me. I love the small community because it's just like St. Mary's. It's a very small school. Everyone knows everyone, and I just love that tight-knit community. The campus is pretty, too. It was really small. I mean, I know it's not in the greatest location, but that's what we have campus safety for. My dad made sure of it. But yeah, I got to know some of the players, and I really enjoyed my experience here. And it was one of the – I've never heard of Fresno Pacific before the showcase. So to see it and to experience it was really important to me, and even that it's Christian-based was very important because I went to a Catholic high school. But yeah, I just knew it was the one for me right by stepping on that campus. And from then on, now I'm here.
Freshman, sophomore, junior, and now senior year. All right, so you're graduating with a degree in what?
Criminology and a minor in psychology.
All right, so we got to get into that a little bit. So what do you want to do with your degree? You got some internships lined up soon. I know, right, we've talked about coaching. We've talked about playing overseas.
Yeah.
But what's the future look like?
So my ultimate goal for my career is to be an evidence technician. So they go to crime scenes and they take pictures of absolutely everything that they need to gather all the evidence and give it to the officers, the detectives, to figure everything out. My other goal is to keep playing volleyball as long as I can, to go overseas, maybe get the fifth year if I can. I'm planning on next semester playing beach at Fresno City. So I'm really excited for that to happen and then just see where the volleyball world takes me from there.
All right. Walk me through a little bit more of this criminology stuff. This is so fascinating. All right. So you want to be a picture taker of the crime scenes, like the dust person? I don't know. I'm sure they have a certain name too. Like, right?
Something they like dust that? For fingerprints and they collect everything, taking pictures of bullet casings. They even have, at some places, they have places where you can test a gun to see how far the bullet went and to see just everything. It's so fascinating to me. So I can't wait to do that in the future if I get to.
Have you done any of that? Have you done a ride-along with anybody?
Yeah, I've done a ride-along with the Sheriff's Department here in Fresno. It was really fascinating to me. And I did one at the Sheriff's Department in San Joaquin County. So I have a little experience in that. I definitely would like to get more experience. We didn't get to get called out on any scenes, so I technically haven't seen anything yet. That might give me the push or push back, depending on what I see. But I can't wait to see.
So when you see yellow tape at a crime scene, you want to jump out of your car and check it out.
I want to see what's happening. Yeah. Most people wouldn't do that. It takes a unique person to want to go into that field.
Is there a TV show or a movie that maybe inspired you or that you like to watch? I mean, how did you even
growing up, my mom always watched crime shows like Law & Order, SVU. Recently, my parents love watching Homicide Detective by Joe Kenda, and it just shows every case that he's ever done and how he does it, and I'm just so fascinated in that. So,
does that fit her personality?
Honestly, Kelsey, not really. I mean, it does, but
you're surprised a little bit?
No, because Cam's someone who's like, all right, I'll just get it done. Or okay, let's just do it. You don't have to have a ton of convincing. I don't know. No, it does, but it doesn't. I just see Cam at such a competitive level that she can't compete to take as many pictures as the next person next to her. So that's where I'm like, I don't know where that's going to go. But no matter what Cam does, she'll be great at it. So communication, skills are there. Her heart is there. She is a dedicated and hardworking person. So Cam could go run 31 miles. I wouldn't put anything past her.
It's very technical, right? You got to be. Right, technical volleyball player, but yet
I could see the frustration setting through sometimes. Oh. Though, like, I can't get this camera to work. What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, turn it on. She's very impatient.
Very impatient.
But I think that's what makes Cam Cam. So,
I'm curious too. I don't think I've asked you this question, Kelsey. You still got some volleyball skills in you. Like, does that show up in practice every once in a while? You guys challenge, Cam, did you ever challenge Coach to come out and show some stuff or not?
No.
No?
We didn't have a one-on-one, I feel like.
Maybe.
A 1v1.
I have a one rep limit.
Yeah.
So I can do it one time, and I'm saying, okay, watch me, and this is the only time I'll do it. I'll say, just like this, and I'll do it, and I'm like, in my head, I don't know if I can do
it's
that
kind of
again.
A lose-lose situation. Let's be honest.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you don't look good or you get hurt. They're not going to let it go.
Oh, they
right?
would. I don't. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that, I'll demo some things here and there. But the way I coach in general is very, this is what it should look like. But how does it feel? And, like, I'll demo things with them. They don't need to see an old person demo. I won't even use Katie. And Katie does things really well. Yeah. It's more how they want to see each other do it. They want to, you know. So I'll do it sometimes, especially for blocking, because we had some trouble with that. But for the most part, I try to demo on them. That's the way I run my camps, too, is I want to demo on the athlete because I want them to know that they can do it, even if they have never done it. So I don't want to grab an assistant coach. I don't want to grab someone I already know. I want someone that has to feel it and go through the motion, and then we can fix and correct versus like someone who's perfect at it, someone who's done it 1,000 times, like
them.
Yeah.
Yes. Look how easy they do it.
Which is when you're teaching something new or trying to get better, obviously that's not what they look like. So we ask them to be a little funky sometimes and be okay with erring, but eventually it should look like this. Mm-hmm. But
okay, I like that approach.
Yeah,
that's a good approach. Two on two though, like you're a little bit better on 2-on-2. You think
they want to get me on the beach? That's for sure, but that's not happening anymore. That's a piece of me that I'm still pretty competitive at. I mean, obviously I'm very competitive, but John Dunning, the old Stanford coach, he came in to a clinic one time when I was coaching at Cabrillo for the club team, and we were talking and he asked me a question, and you know, about 12-year-olds and what would I do, and I was like, oh yeah, I'd sit them. And he's like, how would you sit a 12-year-old? And I was like, oh, maybe I want it. So the theory around it was there's going to be a point in your coaching career that you need to take the athlete out.
Sure.
And I think from then on I really separated my athletic competitiveness to my coaching competitiveness. And how do I intertwine that? And you really can't. You really have to separate it, because you can get really wrapped up if you're still competitive as an athlete, as a coach, and take it on them. And it's nothing personal with them. It can't be. You are there to mentor and guide them. You are not there to play with them. So,
or stroke your ego.
Yeah, absolutely not. It is
nothing
about me. Like, all the accolades are great, but the only reason why I get those accolades is because they're good, right? You wouldn't give a team that went 1-17 coach of the year. There's absolutely no way. So that's where it comes in of like, I took that and ran with it, because it was either going to make me a good coach or I wasn't ever going to be into that realm. So happy John Dunning was there that one day.
All right, we got another minute and a half. Cam, let's just reflect on your entire journey through Fresno Pacific. Like, what are you going to take on in the quote-unquote real world with you that you learned at Fresno Pacific University?
Yeah, I think the friendships, for sure, that I formed inside and outside of volleyball. I mean, some of my best friends are on the team, so that's one thing that I think I'll cherish for the rest of my life and have them for the rest of my life. but also just to be like a team player. It's not always about your just you. It's about how to be a team and how to get through things together. And I mean, I've had some ups and downs at Fresno Pacific my 4 years, so just to have people to lean on was especially important to me.
And it sounds like you're ending on a big up, right? Not only on the court, but off the court, getting your degree and going out and being a productive member of society like all the Fresno Pacific University grads. Kelsey, awesome for you to come in. And I know the season didn't end on the court like you had wanted or hoped, but a phenomenal season. And it's one that you're going to remember for a long time. And the work that you put in and, you know, cleaning your house and writing down ideas and all that stuff that you do to make the program better.
Thank you.
And your athletes better certainly has manifested this year. And I know nothing but success is going to happen in the future. So thanks for coming on. Cam, thanks for coming on as well.
Thank you.
Have a great Christmas break. Relax. Take one day. I'm giving you permission right now, Kelsey.
We'll see. Day
for yourself. We'll see. All right. Thank you guys for coming on. Thank you so much.
Of course.
All right. That is a wrap. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks to Jorge Rodriguez for producing the show as well. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. Remember, next week, last episode, members of the men's basketball team from 1995. It's going to be an awesome episode. Can't wait for you guys to listen to it. You're listening to it all on the Sunbird Sports Show, 790 ESPN.
You're listening to the home of the Fresno Pacific Sunbirds, KFPT Clovis 790 ESPN.